All right, welcome to this evening's Bible study, studying Revelation. We are into chapter 17, and I'll just go ahead and we'll just go through this slowly, one or two verses at a time. So chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Okay, when we look at chapter 17 and then 18, we're going to be looking at two different types of Babylons. And in this chapter, we're going to be looking at what they call the religious Babylon. And in the 18th chapter, we're going to look at the political or financial Babylon. And this first few verses here talk about the kings of the earth committing fornication with this organization, you might call it. This is when, like, corporate business allies with governments, and it's never good when that happens. Because when corporate, and that's what's happening in our country right now, we have a lot of corporations allying with government. And, you know, there's a lot of corruption, a lot of bribes and all this sort of thing that goes on. And it never ends well. And this word fornication so many times is used or being unfaithful and that sort of thing. Adultery is an analogy of not being faithful to God, you know, being with somebody else. And so they use that analogy quite a bit. So it says they were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So this religious Babylon was also spreading their beliefs around and affecting other people. Now, who would this have been? This would have been everybody left behind after the rapture that was involved with church. And the true church, which we found out in chapter 3, I think it was, Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia. It's not just one denomination. It's not Baptists or Methodists or whatever. It is the true Christians from whatever denomination, even Catholicism or some of the others, the ones that really love Jesus Christ as their Savior, no matter what denomination they're in, they're the true church. But there's going to be multitudes left behind from those same denominations that were just playing church, you know.
Is that when the goats and the... and the sheep are...
Yes. The ones... Well, that's at the end, yeah. But right now...
Okay, yeah, but I mean...
The rapture
this
has...
would be part of those, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, they would wind up being the goats, yeah. So, like, after the rapture, all these people in the churches that are left behind are going to basically join together. It's called ecumenicism, where churches, you know, join together in a group, kind of like-minded, and this is going to be this religious Babylon. So, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit, and he's still seeing a vision, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, this is not to be confused with the woman who represented Israel, who gave birth to the child and all that. That was obviously Israel. Not the same. This woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Now, most scholars think that this religious Babylon or this religious organization is going to come to power shortly after the rapture, and they'll be in power for the first half of the tribulation, which is going to be a time of peace, but it's going to be a pseudo-peace. Everybody's going to be safe and secure except Christians. You know, the people that get saved after the rapture that realize, oh, I missed it, and then truly accept Christ, those are the ones that are going to be persecuted. And those are the ones that are going to be killed. And those are the ones in the, I think it's the fifth seal, where they go up to God, and there's a bunch of them at that time, and they ask that God avenge their deaths. And God says, you're going to have to wait. There's another wave of you that's going to come in, and after all have come in, then I will avenge. And so this is who they're talking about here, the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This church actually went out and did a lot of the killings. And this has been done before. I mean, with the Crusades, Muslims against so-called Christians in some cases, people fighting, both of them think they're in the right and they're killing each other. Well, this actual false church is going to be getting rid of those who don't believe the way they should, the way they think they should. Okay? And this is called Mystery Babylon the Great. Okay, but the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. Now, he's going to explain the symbolism, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Now, if you think that's confusing, it's going to get even more confusing later. J. Vernon McGee thinks that he's talking about the Roman Empire that was, but then during John's time, John's time, it was before John, it was during his lifetime, though it still should have been present. I don't know what he's talking about there. And then he says it will descend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Now, in this book, Jack Van Impe, and I agree with Jack Van Impe on this particular issue, he thinks that this is actually the Antichrist he's talking about here too, because the Antichrist is he was the spirit Antichrist was and then is not, and then he's the one that's going to ascend out of Obama's pit, you know, at the end of the tribulation or at the end of the millennial kingdom. He's going to ascend out of Obama's pit only to be defeated again, and then he's going to go to perdition.
I thought that's Satan.
Well, Antichrist, well, that's right. Antichrist is going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. You're right. It would be Satan himself. That's true. That's true. Good point. It's easy to get that mixed up because Satan embodies...
Because he goes to buy some pit for 1,000 years.
He embodies the Antichrist. And then the Antichrist and false prophet are put in the pit. And then Satan also, but Satan is released. And just for a short period of time.
Yeah.
So there's... Depending on who you read and depending on who you research, some of them will tell you that it's Rome. Some of them will tell you that it's the empires, that the seven heads are seven world empires, starting with, I believe it was Persia, and then or Babylon, then Persia. There was Egypt in there. The order would have been Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then after Rome collapsed, there wasn't any for a while. And then you have the revived Roman Empire, which they're predicting is going to happen. And then the last one would be the Empire of the Antichrist. So those would be the seven. So it could be talking about that. So it depends on, like, this is why this chapter is so complex, because there's so many different theories. But generally speaking, you're either talking about a person or Satan himself, or you're talking about empires and how they evolved during history. But let's keep going. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life and the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, this is where, you know, the Antichrist was supposedly assassinated. So he's saying here was and then is not was when he was assassinated, and then yet is would be when he was resurrected by Satan. See, he's assassinated, and then Satan comes down. He's kicked out of heaven. Satan goes into Antichrist. He's resurrected, and then from there on, Satan's directing everything from the body of the Antichrist. So he was, is not, and yet is. So a lot of people think that's talking, that particular thing is talking about the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So here is the mind that has, which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, Rome sits on seven hills. So a lot of people think this has something to do with Rome. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. Now, this is referring to these empires that come up through history. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now, that's kind of weird. Says the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Well, the way that Jack Van Impe explained that was that the beast or the Antichrist would actually be the seventh one, but since he died and was resurrected, he became the eighth one. He came out of the seventh one. He died and was resurrected, so that made eight. So, but there's a lot of other explanations for that, but it's very confusing when you read it. You just look at that. That doesn't make sense. But it does when you think about him being raised from the dead. Then it says the ten horns, which you saw, are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings from the beast. Now, these ten kings, are rulers who will be ruling during the tribulation period. This is not from past history or something. These are ten kings that are going to be ruling different regional areas. And they're going to receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, meaning they all have the same philosophy, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Why they do this, I'm not sure. Perhaps they're just so impressed he works miracles, he's deceiving, but they will give their sovereignty from their country over to the beast. And then when all this happens, they're going to make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, I'm speaking about them giving their sovereignty over. I'm hearing two different things in my research. Not sure who to believe, but there's a story going around right now that not only the United States, but other countries are ready to give up their sovereignty to the World Health Organization if there's a medical emergency like we had before. That they're going to say, okay, the World Health Organization, whatever they say, we're going to give you controlling power as long as there's a medical emergency. So if we would have like something similar to COVID, we would be under the orders of the World Health Organization, which sounds like a central world government. And you would get to the point, well, they could just make up a medical emergency and take over. And that's very scary. But then I read other articles that said that's not true. The individual countries, like 194 countries, we still, if we want to break away from them, we can. So I'm just throwing that out there. It just goes to show you, though, how close we are to something like that happening. It says, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So let's back up. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful.
That's the church, that's what I've got.
That's us, right? That's us. Mm-hmm. And we know from chapter 19 that we're going to be with him. And you know what's really amazing? We talk to people, we talk to Christians. Marcel and I talk to Christians. And we start talking about just a little bit of this stuff. And we get this look like, I've never heard this before. Mm-hmm. Rapture of the church, I've never heard this before. Millennial kingdom, I've never heard that. Lawrence Burdell went to the church in town for years and years and years, and he'd shake my hand and say, I've never heard this stuff before. It's all over my head, but I'm trying to learn it, you know. They're just not being taught. They're just kind of pass over all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will actually be with him at this time. We will have received our rewards by this time, and we will be coming back with Jesus. And here it says it again, the call, the chosen, and faithful. That's us. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this harlot is going to be this, the prevalent religious organization, and they're going to have a sway over everybody in the world, except for those who are true Christians that get saved after the rapture, and most of them are going to be killed. We know there's going to be a few that somehow make it through. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate. This is interesting. These 10 horns, these 10 kings that eventually give their power to the Antichrist, they will hate this religious organization. And then after the first half, they're going to turn against them. And why? Because the Antichrist doesn't want to share his worship. Remember, after the first half is over with and Satan embodies him, and after God has saved Israel from this army, then everybody's going to know that this guy is the Antichrist. They thought he was really the Messiah. And now they're going to know for sure, oh, this is the Antichrist. So, you know, the gig's up. So Antichrist is going to be possessed by Satan, and then he's going to demand everybody worship him. And then if they don't, they're going to have to receive a mark. Well, everybody receives a mark anyway. And then you've got total control. Well, these 10 kings, 10 horns, which are allying with the Antichrist, they hate this religious organization because up to now they've had the power. The first half, they've had the power. And so he gets rid of them. It says, the 10 kings which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. They will make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire.
Mm-hmm. I'll read the next verse.
So they are going to take care of it. It says, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, mm-hmm. to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled.
Yeah.
The prophecies are going to be fulfilled one way or the other. And
but he took these bad people and used them for what he wanted to be done.
Yes, mm-hmm. we can use them as judgment.
Yeah.
And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So, again, we've got religious Babylon, and then which is an organization. Religious Babylon really isn't just, I don't think it, some say it's a certain city or a certain place, but to me it's just a big organization, a world organization composed of these fake believers who are influencing everybody and trying to make everybody believe the same way they do. But now when we get into 18, we're going to be looking at the political, financial Babylon. And that is controversial. I'll just kind of get into it just a little bit right now without reading into it. Is that you've got several commentators who think that ancient Babylon is going to be rebuilt and it's going to become this great financial center. Well, if they're right, that's going to take a little while to them rebuild it and for it to be the major financial center. And right now we are, United States, even though we're down right now, we still are the major financial center. We have, you know, we're the ones that influence so many other nations. Some people like Jack Van Impe, he thinks that Mystery Babylon is United States of America. And I've heard that before, and there are scriptures to back it up. Which makes more sense now. Now, if our country would collapse, there might be another country that would come up and become the leader, then it would change. But right now, to me, it makes a lot of sense. Because it's got to be someone who has tremendous influence and power financially over everybody else. So it could be wind up being China. I don't know. But I don't think it's the original Babylon in the area, what's that, Iraq, I think, is where Babylon is. And I don't think it's going to be that one. I don't think there's time for that. That would take a while for them to become the financial center of the world. But anyway, that's going to be really good. That's my teaser to come back next week.
Okay.
No, I haven't turned it off yet, Julie. Okay, what's your question?
More about the religious organization. Do you think that's anything that's developing now?
Sure.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of what I call, you know, that word, that big long word, ecumenicism. where people are getting together and for a common cause. Social justice is one of them, a different thing. Let's do this, let's do that together. They're blending religions. Your religion is just as good as mine. There's several different ways to get to heaven and all these different things. And yeah, I think definitely there's a group there. And then when the true Christians are taken away, then that's what's left.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this study tonight. We know that it can be very complex. We know there's different theories on this, but it's not a reason not to cover it, Lord. And we need to cover it, and we need to look at it. We need to keep our minds open and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And we pray that we can continue to do that as we go through this study. In Jesus' name, amen.